All right, everyone. Hello, and welcome back to another installment of the Rebel Room podcast. I am your host, Ryan Green, here to preview Saturday's UNLV Kansas State game. Number 17, or 18, excuse me, UNLV comes in at 7-0, and K-State coming in off a big week, 8-1 now, and looking to crack the top 25 next week. To do so, they got to beat the Rebels, and that will take place at 4 p.m. Saturday at the Orleans Arena. And joining us now on the Rebel Room to talk about UNLV K-State from the K-State perspective is Austin Meek. He covers Kansas State football, basketball, everything K-State for the Topeka Capital Journal. Austin, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Last time I talked to you, I think we were in Detroit for the Elite Eight. You remember that?
Yes, I do. I certainly do. And, and what's that?
A night we better not speak of.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was a good time up in Detroit, and you know, a couple teams that are looking to make their way, you know, deep into the NCAA tournament this year, meeting this weekend. Both teams picking up a lot of early steam. For UNLV, obviously not shooting the ball well, but they found a way to win seven games. And K-State sounds like it's been a little similar. They've had some offensive struggles, but the size and the toughness that they play with on defense sounds like it's getting them along right now.
Yeah, you know, I think we kind of had a feeling before the season started that this had a chance to be Frank Martin's best team here, maybe even a little bit better than the team with Michael Beasley and Bill Walker, just because of the top-to-bottom talent they have and the fact that they've got some experience coming back now and some guys that have played in Frank Martin's system for a couple years and kind of know what they're doing. And so far this season, you know, they've been playing about how we expected. They're not a real pretty team. They're not going to go out and shoot the lights out most nights, but like you said, they've got some size and they're tough and they're physical, and you know, they'll just kind of pound on you, and that's what they did against Xavier on Tuesday and kind of beat up a pretty good Xavier team, and that's how they've been winning this season, and they come into Vegas on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah, and you know, beating Washington State and Xavier as handily as they did, I think surprised a lot of people. You know, Lon Kruger even admitted he was a little surprised by how well they just completely overwhelmed them. And, you know, Kruger said after UNLV beat Santa Clara last Saturday that K-State was going to be his team's biggest challenge to date. At the time, it sounded a little strange because UNLV had already played Arizona and Louisville. But, you know, looking at it closer, it certainly does look that way. And one thing that he, I think, is really concerned about is that toughness aspect. You know, who are the real enforcers on this team that are really creating that kind of, I guess, image of K-State hoops?
Well, I think it starts with a guy named Dominique Sutton. He is their defensive stopper. He's a 6'5 wing, and he's the guy that typically guards the other team's best offensive player. Against Washington State, they put him on Klay Thompson, who is like the second leading scorer in the country, and he shut him down pretty well. And then against Xavier, they had him matched up against Jordan Crawford, who's a really explosive scorer and a really athletic guy, and shut him down pretty well, too. So that's kind of where it starts. Dominique Sutton typically will kind of set the tone with his defense. And then inside, they've got Curtis Kelly, transfer from UConn. You guys probably know because I know UNLV recruited him, too. You got him and Jamar Samuels will play kind of a combo forward, the three and the four. And it sounds like K-State could also get Luis Colon back to play down there in the paint. He has been off the court for the last few games with, a compliance issue, but it sounds like they may get him back. So he'll add a little bit of toughness and a little bit of bulk in there too.
Well, expand on Kelly a little bit, because as you said, when he was transferring from UConn, it came down between K-State and UNLV. Seems like this year he's really blossomed. He struggled to find some footing at UConn, but this year, his first year eligible at K-State, he looks like he's, you know, not only been tough and on the defensive end, but he's being productive on the offensive end too.
Curtis is a really fascinating player. I mean, he's really, really talented. He was a five-star kid coming out of high school in New York, a real blue-chip prospect, and signed with UConn, and it never quite fit for him at UConn. He's just kind of a free spirit, you know. He's got kind of that New York flair to his game. And I don't know how well that fit at UConn, which is kind of a, you know, a straight-laced, straight-laced kind of place. You know, Jim Calhoun, I think, is a big disciplinarian. And for whatever reason, it just didn't quite work out for Curtis at UConn. And he came here to K-State and has really, I think, kind of found a place where he fits. And he's been in and out of the doghouse a little bit this year, partly because I think even though Frank Martin's given him a little bit more freedom, there's still some things that he's going to kind of demand from Curtis, and Curtis is still kind of figuring out how to do that. But, you know, when he's on and he's playing well, he's a great player. He's really talented offensively, can really put the ball in the bucket, really, really athletic. You know, and as a 6'8" forward, he's got a really broad skill set. He can dribble, he can pass, he can shoot, can do all those things. So he's maybe the piece that K-State was missing last season, and it's made a big difference to have him in there.
Now, a lot of people thought that piece was going to be the McDonald's All-American Wally Judge out of Washington, D.C., just the latest installment of that connection that Frank Martin and his staff have out in the D.C. area. It seems like he's struggled here a little bit early, and I know reading your guys' stuff, it seems like Frank is just waiting for them to completely buy in. You know, what's kind of been the issue with Judge early on, and how are those freshmen coming along?
Well, it's definitely taken Wally some time to make that transition, and maybe we were a little bit spoiled by a guy like Michael Beasley who came in and was, you know, giving you 26 and 12 from day one. And, you know, Wally Judge isn't that kind of player. And I don't think anybody expected that, but at the same time, I think people probably did expect a little bit more than we've gotten from Wally Judge to this point. You know, he's a talented player, and he's got all the tools. And I think right now he just hasn't quite adjusted to the speed of the college game and how physical it is. He looks a little bit passive on the offensive side. You know, and I think it's just going to take some time with him. And he may not be a guy that goes out and gets you, you know, 15 and 8 as a freshman. This may be his role this season. But the good thing is for K-State is they have some guys in the front court who have some experience. So they don't need Wally Judge to go out there and score double figures every night. You know, they have Curtis Kelly, they have Jamar Samuels. So those guys can kind of carry the load while Wally gets acclimated to the college game. And, you know, at this point, whatever they get from Wally Judge, it's a bonus. But he's getting better. He's showing some signs, and I think he can contribute in some capacity this season.
All right. And obviously you can't talk about K-State without talking about that backcourt, because that's where most of the point production seems to be coming from. And, you know, that's been UNLV's strength. It's been K-State's strength. And I guess it might be a question of which one can live up to the billing, but between Jake Pullen, the junior, and senior Miami transfer Denny Clemente, I mean, you might be talking about one of the best backcourts in the Big 12, I'd have to think.
When those guys are on, they're definitely up there. And both Pullen and Clemente have been a little bit streaky shooting the ball early this season, especially Clemente. But Pullen's been really good the last four or five games. He had, I think, four straight of 20-plus, and then the shot didn't fall for him against Xavier, but he got to the line and still scored 16 points. So Pullen has been really dependable back there. Clemente got off to a little bit of a rough start this season, and you don't get the sense that he's really found his groove yet, but that's kind of how he was last year. You know, last year, his first year after transferring from Miami, he got off to kind of a rough start, and, you know, there were some questions at the time whether Denny Clemente really was fitting in, you know, what his role was on this team, if he really was going to be able to help them that much. But then conference play came around, and he was just terrific. And so I think we're going to see Denny Clemente start to kind of warm up a little bit. Once his shot starts to fall, he can really score it. He had a game where he scored 44 last year against Texas, at Texas. So you know he's got that ability. And if his shot starts to fall a little bit, he's going to be a real problem for some people.
Well, the biggest topic going into this game, obviously on the side, is the connection between Lon Kruger and his staff to the Kansas State program. And 20 years later, since they were all there, a very different program. You know, went through some down years, but now it's back on the up, up and up. A lot of it was thanks to Bob Huggins coming in and giving it that name recognition again. But, you know, Frank Martin, I think, has exceeded a lot of people's expectations as far as keeping it going. You know, I guess talk about how he's developed in the time that you've seen him as a coach over the last, you know, three seasons. It seems like guys are, you know, he's really starting to get a reputation as a guy who's going to coach this very hard-nosed style of basketball and use a lot of speed, size, and athleticism and just try to use it to his advantage.
Yeah, there was definitely some trepidation when Frank Martin was hired. A lot of people who wondered if maybe the only reason he got the job was to keep that recruiting class intact. They had Michael Beasley, they had Bill Walker, and some other talented guys. And when Bob Huggins bolted, there were people saying, hey, look, you just promoted this assistant to be your head coach, and yeah, you kept your recruits, but what's it going to mean for the long term? And I think Frank has really kind of exceeded a lot of people's expectations and shown that, you know, he is not just keeping the recruits there. He's been a really solid coach for K-State and has been able to keep getting players. And then just as important, he's been able to coach the guys he gets. And Frank's teams are going to play really hard. They're not usually going to be the prettiest teams. It's not about precision, and it's not about, you know, looking good. It's just about playing really tough, physical, hard-nosed basketball. But he's a great recruiter. He has elevated the talent level at K-State significantly, and it shows no signs of slowing down. I mean, they just continue to get good players in here. So, as you know, in college basketball, that's most of the battle. And then the guys he gets, he can coach them, and his teams always play hard, and this team's playing hard too.
All right, well, a win on Saturday at the Orleans would certainly go a long way. Probably would get, you would have to assume, K-State ranked in both polls next week, and would definitely put them on the map with a lot of people that don't know a lot about the program. Before we let you go, we can't let you go without offering up a prediction for Saturday. Do they keep it rolling?
Oh, boy, that's tough. I mean, I think they can do it. I think this will probably be the toughest game K-State's played to this point, too. But I think they can keep rolling just because they had a tough patch here before the Washington State game where they just weren't playing well and they seemed to be kind of in a funk. But these last 2 weeks, they've just been playing so hard and playing so well. So I think they can keep it going, but this probably will be the toughest test they've had to this point in the season, too.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of leaning in K-State's direction just because of the size thing and because you and all these big men still need to kind of show something. So we might be in the same boat on that one.
Well, yeah, it should be a good game, though. I think both these teams will go at it, and I've seen Lon's teams play, and they play hard, so either way it should be pretty entertaining.
Very much so it should be. Austin, thank you very much for taking the time. That is Austin Meek from the Topeka Capital Journal. He covers K-State, and look forward to seeing you this weekend.
All right. Hey, thanks, buddy.
All right, no problem. And tune in on Saturday night to the Rebel Room postgame edition. We will break down what went down at the Orleans on Saturday evening. I'm Ryan Green, and we will talk to you then. Thanks for listening.